You're tuning in to the O&P Check-In, an SPS podcast. I'm Brendan Erickson, a regional sales manager at SPS.
And my name is Jackie Green, a marketing specialist at SPS. This show brings you the latest happenings in the O&P industry. We're unpacking trends and news from this tight-knit orthotics and prosthetics community.
Thank you for joining us. Let's get started. The SPS Clinical Minute features short overviews of orthotic and prosthetic devices.
In the latest video, our incredibly talented senior clinical education specialist, Liz Hillen, explores KnitRite's Core Spun and Smart Knit AFO socks.
Follow the link in our show notes to learn about the fun color options and their seam-free, wrinkle-free features. Okay, everyone, I am very excited to welcome Director of Purchasing and Inventory, Michael Shanks. With over 8 years of experience in managing purchases for Snell P&O and all of their 10 locations, we're eager to learn from him how he ensures clinicians and patients have what they need to succeed. Welcome and thanks for joining us, Michael.
Thanks, Brendan. I appreciate that. I'm very excited to be here.
Absolutely. You have a great reputation in the field, so we feel very lucky to take a little bit of piece of your time, and I'm sure with 10 locations, you're very, very busy. Let's kick it off with you sharing a little bit about how you got into O&P and also how you started at Snell.
Sure. So I come from a logistics background. I did 10 years as a frontline manager for FedEx Ground, and that was a very fast-paced, demanding work environment. I knew of Snell's, and they had an opening due to a recent retirement, and it was in their warehouse. And so I thought that that would be a good opportunity for me to take my skills that I had learned as a frontline manager in a shipping company and utilize that in a purchasing environment. And actually, it was a nice crossover. So I've been with Snell's for about 8 years. I had no prior experience in the orthotic or prosthetic industry. It was very overwhelming as far as learning not only the products, but different things that go into the products as far as HCPCS codes, SKU numbers. I couldn't even tell you what a SKU was, but I definitely knew how to manage processes. I knew how to manage logistics, and we were able to bring those things together, and it's been a great fit. We continue to grow together, and I look forward to retiring from Snell. So that's a little bit about me. I did graduate college with a psychology degree with an information technology minor. I was able to utilize that when coming into Snell's. The college background with the logistics training was a easy fit into Snell's and their organization, as well as the purchasing and inventory side of it. So that's kind of how all that came to be.
Since you're managing 10 locations now, what are some tactics that you use to ensure items are going to the right place and getting there in a timely manner, that everyone has what they need when they need it?
Sure. As an inventory and purchasing manager, everybody's going to have some sort of inventory management system that they're using. We utilize programs that were developed for the industry, such as Nimble or OP. I think most people are familiar with those systems, and they do have an inventory management side of them. It's important that you fully understand the capabilities of the system that you're using, because it can really make or break your operation. If the purchase orders aren't being communicated correctly to the vendors or the suppliers, then that can really disrupt your supply chain. With utilizing those programs, it allows that to be an automated process. You're not generating your own random POs. You're not generating your own purchase orders per se. The system does that for you. And so that ensures a really clean system. But one of the other things that I like to take into consideration is understanding your national shipping lanes and your local shipping lanes. And what do I mean by that? So understand that a shipment from California is going to take 5 days, whereas a shipment from Alpharetta is going to take 2 days. When you're ordering for an office that's in Northwest Arkansas, you might want to choose an item that you can get there in 2 days rather than an item that would take 5 days. That's just using an efficient way to order items, knowing what national lanes, what local lanes that you have for your shipping carriers. I think that's very important as a purchaser to understand that. Where do your drop ships come from? you may order one particular item that's in a warehouse, but then the warehouse runs out, and then your dropship vendor is in the northeast of the country, which is another 5-day turnaround. We try to reduce that. Sometimes you can't, obvious, because you need it, but as a purchasing manager, you should understand shipping lanes and how they can help you or hurt you in turnaround times. One of the other things is cutoff times for your vendors or your suppliers, right? If you know that your supplier is going to cut off picking your orders at 2 p.m., well, it's very important for you to make sure that order gets in before they cut it off for that day. So you're getting same-day shipments to your locations. With patient care, obviously, it's always going to be about the patient, but we also want to deliver speedy service to these patients. And we're able to do that by making sure that we utilize the best dropship times available to us. And as a shipping manager, you should know where any vendor that you use, where their warehouse is located, what their shipping cutoff times are, what their overnight cutoff times are, which vendor do they like to use for shipping? Is it UPS? Is it FedEx? Is it USPS? I mean, all these things go into account when you're placing these orders. And there's one more thing I want to talk about in regards to tactics for ordering. You want to be efficient in your ordering by trying to maximize what I would call bulk orders, or reduce the amount of orders that you're placing in a day. And that's going to help you in two different ways. One of the things, bulk orders, is reduces the amount of boxes that are coming into your warehouse that you have to check in. And then also, usually, if you're paying for shipping, we'll reduce those costs as well. That's just a slim part of some of the tactics that we use. But those are the ones that I want to touch on because I feel like they're highly important to the success of your operation if you can kind of master that.
You are not a clinician. However, I'm sure your role is extremely important in the process flow because you are somewhat of a bottleneck, right? If things go poorly on the purchasing side or the delivery side, then the patient care timelines can get disrupted and are postponed. Can you talk about how important it is to have somebody that is maybe not dedicated, because I know all of our customers don't have the scope and the scalability to have one person doing this all the time. But you say, like, being very skilled at this and spending a lot of time learning these tricks and trades. Can you talk about how important that is and the improvement that maybe a facility sees by investing time in this or investing time in one individual that is very good at it?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because that was just recently brought to our attention when we had a visitor that wanted to see how we were utilizing technology in our building. And they really loved the fact that there was a central person that was very knowledgeable of not only the operation side of logistics and shipping and purchasing, but someone who could also learn the medical side of it. And what I mean by that is HCPCS codes are very important. PDAC is something PDAC approved. Basically, is this foot a 5981 versus an 87? And so a lot of times when you have a multi-role person in your purchasing and inventory position, they're not able to really learn everything that goes into that position. So you may be a practitioner who's also having to see patients, that's having to check insurance, that's having to call and do their own ordering, and then make sure that they're picking out what's best for their patient. That's a lot of different roles that will take away from one's ability to really dig into shipping lanes, cutoff times, new technology for inventory processing, or just meeting with vendors and understanding their processes and also developing relationships with the customer service agents that you deal with on a day in and day out basis. So you lose that ability for that one person to bring all that back to the position when they have a practitioner role, a front office role, a receiving role, a purchaser role. You can do it, but it doesn't allow for you to have those fine-tuned processes and understandings of the big picture.
Yeah, and shout out to all the people listening that actually do all of those roles, because I know there's a lot of them in our profession that need to do that. We have a lot of small businesses out there.
I think it's important for people to understand that The big locations that have one or more offices are a different animal than a small one or two person office. For example, we have 25 people in this office. We have billers, we have purchasers, we have customer service agents, right? We have practitioners, we have techs. Well, in an office that only has two people, guess what? They're a little bit of everything. And so, yeah, those people get a lot of credit because they're doing a lot of juggling of different things at different times during the day. And I don't want to take anything away from that because there are people that are really good at it.
Where would they start? Say it is a jack of all trades that is doing everything in an office. If they have a little bit of investment dollars, can they start with somebody part-time? And what would you have them focus on first, right? If you're prioritizing kind of some of these outside skills, where should they start and direct whomever they hire, or if they outsource it or whatever they may do?
That's a really solid question. It's going to be different for everybody because you need to look. I would look at the low-hanging fruit first, okay, and assess the strengths and weaknesses of the person that you're about to put in that position, right? Are they technologically well-versed? Do they handle computers really well? If that's the case, then maybe it would be better for them to look at your inventory management processes and see if there was something that they could improve. So look at the person's strengths. Look at the low-hanging fruit, maybe some of the issues that you're currently having that you could just go ahead and make a quick change to that would implement changes for you that are going to be the most beneficial at that time. So I that's how I would do that.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's switch gears a little bit and go into some specifics here. Let's talk about management of your space constraints. And we've all had this where, wow, do I need a left and a right, extra small through extra large, pneumatic and non-pneumatic, I don't know, pick something, elbow brace or knee brace. You don't want to have all that in your office at one time. How do you maximize your space constraints and being efficient with that?
Very good question. Recently, we did a remodel because we're growing as a company and we had to hire some new employees. And so we had to build new offices and we lost a little bit of our warehouse space. So this is a question that really hits home. When it comes to managing inventory, one way that we like to do it, we like to take advantage of the SPS Supplier Advantage program. So that was something that you guys just recently enacted, and you're stocking more SKUs than you ever have from vendors that we use on a regular basis. And that allows us to use our local warehouse as basically a staging area for us. So Alpharetta is only a two-day ship away from Little Rock, Arkansas. So we may not need to stock everything in our warehouse when we could have it in 2 days. And if you come into Snell's and you're able to be seen and you leave and you get a phone call in 2 days for that back brace, I feel like that's a pretty good turnaround. So with the Supplier Advantage program, we're able to utilize your stocking ability for your hundreds of thousands of SKUs that you have in that warehouse and use it as a staging ground for us. One thing that the Supplier Advantage helps us out with as well is it reduces our costs of shipping with consolidated shipping. With your ability to stock as many things as you do in your Alpharetta and your Reno warehouses allows us to receive less boxes, so we don't have 20 to 30 boxes laying around in our warehouse taking up space. That's a safety concern as well. We don't want anybody tripping over anything. And also, we're not spending time opening up 20 different boxes. So that helps with space constraints as well. In the remodeling, so we lost four rows of shelves. And that allowed us an opportunity to go through our inventory and start really looking at some of the things that hadn't moved in a while. I highly encourage you, if you have a storage closet, a back room, or an actual inventory warehouse, that you take a look at items that are building some dust on them and decide if that's something that you really need. With space constraints in mind, utilize your inventory to what it is that's actually being moved in a timely manner rather than something that's just going to sit there and collect dust. So that's very important for you to take into consideration.
How often would you set aside actual time to do an inventory check and maybe filter out some things?
We inventory check every week.
Oh, wow. That's more often than I thought. And I wonder if that's surprising to our listeners. And when you do that, are you doing a full inventory count?
Yes. And that's where some people utilize technology as far as like scanning barcodes, RFIDs, inventory management software. We don't do that here at Snails. We're still a little old school in that. So we do a manual count. We do keep par levels as far as what's expected to be on the shelf. And those are adjusted quite regularly. And so that's the reason why we do it on a weekly basis, is also keep inventory levels at the par where they're supposed to be. But for us to see what's not moving, okay, we've had five of these on the shelf for the last 10 months. Not one of them's moved. Once they're gone, not reorder them back in. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, keeping track of your inventory, every week, that gives you a lot of flexibility to adjust kind of when new things come on the market or you have a shift in patient demographic, I would assume, as well.
It probably brings a peace of mind too, right? If you clean out your refrigerator once a month versus every week, each time you do it, it's very minimal compared to that once a month cleaning.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's a very good point. I never thought about it in that aspect. But yeah, if you wait too long, it does become tedious for sure.
If somebody's not doing this now, and again, let's go back to the jack of all trades that's doing it themselves, are there places maybe they can outsource or a system that you would recommend that they even just use as a template to get started for the first time and then it gets the ball rolling?
You know, I don't. I really don't. And the reason why is because that is a portion of the software, the patient management software that we're using. So that's the answer. Utilize what that program offers you, because each one of them has its different benefits, but they do have a great starting point for you to develop an inventory system, keep track of it, and also maintain it. So I think that that's going to be where you start, is inside that inventory management program with whatever patient management system you're using.
So maybe if you're using Nimble or OP or whatever you may be using, reach out to them and have them give you a quick demo of it and really learn it and get it down. That seems like a great place to start.
Absolutely. Because a practitioner, well, they're going to know the patient side better than the inventory management side. If you want to become better at inventory management, you're going to have to spend time, invest time, and you're going to get out of it what you put into it. Because if you get it correct on the beginning from the front, then it's easy to maintain. But if you don't ever set it up properly and it's just haphazardly put together, it will never work for you. And so that's important for a practitioner to understand. You get out of your inventory program what you put into it.
But we know that supply chain was pretty heavily impacted during the pandemic. So thinking back to that time, was there any process changes you implemented as like a response to supply chain issues that you are still using today and would maybe even recommend people kind of just start off with using?
Yeah, so we spoke about this a little bit earlier, but reducing slow inventory, what we call slow inventory, inventory that's not moving off the shelf in a timely manner. It just doesn't need to be there. It's wasted space. And it's just another thing for you to count when you don't need to count it. And then one of the big, big things that we found was alternatives to everyday items that you order, alternative vendors or suppliers. One of the big things was plastics. You know, plastics and resins were kind of hard to get during the pandemic. Believe it or not, cleaning supplies at one point was hard to come by. Now, I don't really like to panic buy. That's not what we don't want to create the problem of the TP issue that everybody had to deal with during the pandemic. I highly encourage, if you're in an inventory role, please don't panic buy or find a better alternative product that could get you by in the time being that you're waiting on that product to come in or to be off a back order. That's really been beneficial for us. And the reason why I say that is because the alternatives we chose became our new normal. It was a blessing in disguise that sometimes you get into a complacency where you don't want to try new things because if it's not broke, don't fix it. But when the pandemic throws you a curveball and you have to try something new, sometimes those products are actually better than what you were using and you're getting it at a better price point. That was a weird turn of events for us in the inventory and purchasing aspect for us, because we were able to find better deals on things we didn't think we would ever use. If I could give one piece of advice, don't panic buy and find alternatives to everything that you use. You may not need it, but you know what you need to use if you ever have to.
Necessity is the mother of all invention, and I think you're doing a great job of trying to use an awful time to improve your organization and make your entire processes better. I wanted to ask you a little bit about purchasing, and maybe this flows back to that. Can you talk to us about how you guys purchase and what you think the optimal way, and I'm talking about maybe frequency here.
That is a wonderful question because it hits home our processes, and I love sharing these because it works for us really well. In today's environment, shipping costs are going up. You know, everybody knows there was possibility of a strike. Shipping is going through the roof nowadays. Yes, it is very important that you reduce the amount of purchasing that you do in a day. For example, what we like to do is we have 10 different locations. Each location gets, on average, one order a day. And the reason why is because reduced shipping costs, reduced handling costs, it also helps your supplier vendor reduce their costs as well. So by placing 10 different orders in a day for one office is tying up a lot of manpower, a lot of boxes, and a lot of money. We want to reduce that. We want to be less wasteful. It's not very efficient to order that way. So what we like to do is we understand that our cutoff may be at 2:30 our local time. We want to make sure that we get in all 10 of those orders before that cutoff time so that they have ample opportunity to go pull that product and get it off the shelf. Now, I understand if it's a 30 SKU purchase order, they may not be able to pull it at 2:30. It's going to go out the next day. But by understanding your cutoff times, your warehouse, how long it generally takes them to pull an order of that size that you're submitting, you can generally gauge when you're going to get that product. It's just-in-time inventory. You get your processes down to a point to where everything's showing up just as you need it. I do not recommend placing multiple orders for patients. If you see patient A and you place an order, you see patient B, you place an order, that's not a way to do it. It's going to cost you more money. It's going to cost your vendor more money and more time and more manpower and just a lot of waste. Some people are really environmentally conscious, you know, and you can look at it as reducing your carbon footprint. It's just a great thing overall to reduce the amount of orders that you're placing during the day and reducing the amount of waste that goes into the shipping and receiving process.
And I bet, again, this is another point where you could check with your inventory management software and see how they build carts, see how they sequester things till individual time where you can hit send on them all, right? I mean, I assume that's a feature in a lot of our softwares?
Yes, a lot of software management programs do utilize a shopping cart feature where it's a holding place for the items requested. At the end of the day, I can go in there and they're all separated by location. So I can see, let's say, for example, location A has 10 items in their shopping cart. Well, then the next line items will be the next location. If someone puts a high alert, generally they'll communicate that through a phone call or an email, or they can mark it on the item itself. Now, we will make a rare exception on that to go ahead and make that an order at that moment. But everything's got to be approved, and we're not willy-nilly just overnighting things, so that doesn't happen very often. But the shopping cart feature allows you to build up your orders, and then at the end of the day, with our 10 locations, 10 separate orders. It's just the more efficient way to do things.
And you mentioned approval. You then get to kind of spot check and make sure that these are items that you may either approve of clinically or B, financially or C, time-wise, right? Like if you notice something is a drop shipment from a vendor, you could notify that practitioner, hey, look, in your order, you have these coming from the DCs, but these are drop shipped. Make sure your turnaround time is correct with that patient, right?
Absolutely. All that goes into it. So communication with your practitioners is key. If you get in the back order, you're notating the back order in the purchase order, you're sending an email notifying that practitioner of a delay in that. I'm lucky that I have been given the opportunity to look at an item that is being requested and determine the value on that item. Are we going to make some money or are we going to lose some money? Is this actually qualified to be purchased underneath this person's insurance? A lot of people don't think that goes into it. We talk about PDAC approval. Are you supplying a product that doesn't have a PDAC letter to it? A good purchaser is going to communicate that to their practitioner if it slips through the cracks. We may say, hey, we can get you a better deal on this component from this vendor. What do you think about that? And a lot of times we don't run into roadblocks with that. So it's very important for as a purchaser and inventory manager to communicate the options to these practitioners and also understand where the value and non-value is. It's very important for you to be financially responsible in regards to what you're ordering and make sure that the items actually are going to allow you to be profitable in what you're serving to the patient.
So that brings me to a whole nother, I think, silo of this portion. Do you retroactively go backward and look at patterns and maybe assess certain skills or weaknesses in your ordering process after the fact? Because I mean, now data is king and you could look back at all the data of your purchasing and maybe orders are going up or down, profitability is going up and down. How do you personally do that?
That came up just here, just this week, right? So one of the things I noticed was we were having issues with one of our vendors and the quality of the product we were getting in return. And I pulled a report, I ran a report on a part number that we were ordering a lot of. And I wanted to see for the last 3 years what the trend was. And I have noticed that we're using less of this product, significantly less. And so what I was able to do was relay that information to our marketing group and say, why are we losing this business? Where is it gone? And that gives them an avenue to go target business opportunities. So yes, you should always be looking at trends in your ordering and noticing, hey, we're not using this as much as we used to, or we're using more of this. Should we stock this? Should we get more of them on our shelves? And so yes, that's very important as a purchaser.
Cool. So we talked about a lot of different things here. What advice would you give to somebody who may be new to this role or to a jack of all trades that wants to really dig in and get better at it?
Relationships, build them, build good ones, build great ones. You know, Regina Trotter is our inside sales support. She is great at what she does. And she's really great at what she does. Identify your inside sales support strengths and lean on them and utilize them. Keith Oettinger is our sales rep now. I grew up in this industry with Keith. He was the person answering the phone when I started making my first phone calls. He's now my sales rep. We're like best friends. We understand each other. We know where our strengths and weaknesses lie. And so we're able to help one another with that. Christina Cox, you know, we still have a great relationship. I call her for advice and just kind of bounce ideas or some worries or just thoughts on anything in the industry. And she's always been a great resource. So not only build relationships with your suppliers, but also your individual vendors, your Proteors, your Blatchfords, your Osters, your Autobox, you know, all your reps that come by and see you, whether you buy from them or not. That's important to them, but it's not important to me because I never know when I'm going to need something. And if I have a great relationship with my Autobox rep and my Oster rep and my Blatchford rep, I know that I can expect them to have whatever it is I need. So it's all about relationships in this game. Develop great relationships. You'll see great outcomes. Also, develop a relationship with your delivery drivers. That's important. One thing a lot of people don't understand about shipping and receiving, they're not time sensitive. Only overnight shipping is time sensitive. So a ground shipment, that driver can get there whenever he wants. And generally, they're going to try to do their deliveries at their pickups. That's what we're noticing a trend in. So build a relationship with that driver. And I think that's really important to be successful in this operation is having a great relationship with everybody involved in the ordering process.
So this is it. Do you have anything else you would like to add or talk about? Any shout outs, anything? Floor is yours.
Thank you guys for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. This was fun. It's exciting. I love talking to new people. You seem like really great people. I'm excited to see how it comes out and just thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. If you would like to learn more about Snell Prosthetics and Orthotics, see the link in our show notes.
Thank you for tuning in to the O&P Check-In, an SPS podcast.
If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to episodes.
And while you're at it, rate and review the podcast to help fellow O&P professionals find us.
Email us your topic suggestions and feedback at spspodcast@spsco.com.
See you next time.